Okay, let's hope this works like it's supposed to today, because technology's great until it isn't. This is the news, according to me. Yeah, hey, we've got a lot of things going on this morning. It's wishy-washy Wednesday. We've got the bots in the room. The bots are calling. Not actually in the room. They're calling in today. Still don't have the... I hope to have the panel discussion tomorrow. I'm going to be working on that. I'm actually hoping to have it finished today so that it's actually on board on the channel, on the podcastcaller.com. This is the news according to me. I'm the guy with who just basically just shares my opinions on whatever. I have Wishy-Washy Wednesday coming up. This is where we just talk about just different things, just a mishmash of different things. A mishmash Monday is the stuff that happens over the weekend. Tuesday, Technology Tuesday. Wishy-Washy Wednesday. Thursday is Theological Thursday. And Friday is Financial Friday. We have just general stuff going on today. By the way, this podcast is not brought to you by anybody other than me. I don't have any sponsors. It's just me. So I just have to put up with my ramblings to get anything out of it. So think about that. You don't have to sit through any commercials. You just have to sit through my drivel, this podcast is sponsored by my drivel. I have, I don't even know what drivel is. Sounds like something an old man would do. I am still camping. I am in the dark wilderness of Syracuse, Indiana, out here, pretty much between two cornfields. A lot of interesting things happening here. This is it's basically just it's a brand new campsite down here. It's pristine, I must say. We have a Class A Freightliner chassis diesel pusher two slide out motorhome, and we look like we're the Clampets in this place. I don't think there's any other motorhome here that has that doesn't have a tag axle. At least they're all dual axles. Most of them are, and there's not that many of them. It's kind of off season right now. I mean, we're getting to close of the season here. Kids are back to school, but they've got probably 50 sites here, and they're not even half full right now. We're kind of in the middle of the no man's land. There's nobody over here on this side because there's no shade over here either. But there's no trees yet. They got trees planted, but they haven't grown up very far. The facilities are absolutely wonderful in terms of the electricity, the sewer, everything's hooked up. It works very well, very well thought out, very well planned. There's a little place, very small place for dogs to play. Our dog is almost too big to get through the gate there, but we have very nice. It's very nice, and town is not too far away. It's just we could basically walk into town if you needed to. But the facilities are very good, very very secure here. Everything's very well done. We have good services, good people, friendly people. Everything's nice. But anyway, we're here for the weekend. We'll be heading out of here Friday. Heading home for one night, then heading off on the boat to go to something over the weekend, and then coming back, and then we'll be spending next week back in the old shop back there at the house. We have I got my chai here by my side. I've got chai with it's a big chain big train chai with almond joy creamer. This is getting good now. It's got that peach flavor kind of permeating into the tea. The tea is still good, and so I got this peach sweet tea homemade sweet peach tea that I've got on my backup cup here. We have, I got some water beside me as well. Gotta stay hydrated, especially when you're out here in the wilderness like this. We have, a lot of things going on. We have, I got this little, that's all I'm going to tell you about. That's all you need to know at this point. You already know what you need to know about me and my thing here. We're going to get into the news right after this little ditty. We're going to play this little ditty for you. We'll be right back.
Welcome to the news, according to me. Pull up a chair, I'll share what I believe. I've done my reading.
got thoughts or two. But I'm not your doctor, so don't go blaming you know who. I'm not a doctor, I'm not a lawyer, I'm definitely not your financial advisor. These are my opinions, not the gospel truth. Entertainment only, baby. That's the news according to me and me alone. Now let's get started. Ooh, welcome to the show.
Yeah, here we are. And by the way, I failed to mention that we are actually, there's probably some noise in the background. Hopefully the air conditioner doesn't kick on. I did forget to turn that to the off position up here in the front air conditioner. But it's in the background, you might hear the ice machine working. You're going to hear occasionally, you're going to hear ice droplets dripping out, dropping down. We'll see how that works out. I've got my agents working on some things in the background right now. And so that's what we got have happening. We're working on a couple of different things. Workflow. There's the ice. Isn't that nice? We're working on some things with this new business we're starting. Doing business assessments and providing AI tools, kind of doing it. We call it an AI assessment, but it's basically an opportunity for businesses to be assessed and see what their workflow is like. They can see if there's any AI tools out there that they need, and kind of provide a concierge service for people who want to set up particular AI services, whether it's automated emailing, response type things, a website that needs, you know, that has a chat bot on it, or whatever it is that they need. We're kind of providing some of that. Plus, we're developing this app right now where the client, while they're doing all their onboarding and doing all this stuff, we actually provide a setup for them. You know, I forgot to turn on the chat machine here. Got to turn that thing on, make sure it's working. And so we enable the clients to be able to go into a chat room with our agents, our little chatbot agents in the background. And they can go on there, they can ask questions, they can do all kinds of things. It's primarily right now only on a desktop system, you know, browser-based. I mean, you can do it on your laptop. But it is live now on the web. So we've developed this whole structure just for our company. You know, it may be something that other companies want to do if they've got a collaboration project or something they're working on. Obviously, there's Slack and there's all kinds of other things. But this is primarily set up for our agents to work with our clients, and it's, you know, we're working on the whole back end doing all that stuff. So that's kind of happening there. Now, on the other side of this is the podcast caller app, which you're going to experience today if you haven't ever been on this show before. We have agents that call into the show, ask questions, and then we have this little discussion, that little bit of discussion. And we also have another system that where we can do this thing called a panel discussion. So they're all like in the room, and we all discuss things all in the same time. I'll ask the bots a question, or we'll start off with something, and they just start in, and they talk to each other as well as talk to me, and it's kind of this conversation that goes on. It's kind of fun. And they all have different personalities. The fun thing, I think, eventually I want to have it set up so that the different agents, the different bots actually have different, what would be ideal is to have each of the agents would have different LLMs behind them. In other words, one would be a Grok agent, one would be a Claude agent, the other one would be possibly a Gemini or Kimmy, or whatever it's going to be, would be in the background. So you get different responses, and you kind of get this different attitude from each of them, and kind of different types of responses. They tend to get into arguments that way. It's kind of fun. That's where we're going with it. That's the podcast caller app. It's at podcastcaller.com. You can find it there. There's a free 2-week trial. I think you can onboard now with it. I think you can actually sign up and get the, I think you can get basically with the basic program, pretty much get what everything you need with the starter program. You can actually get on there and use it just like I'm using it here. I'm not using much for what we're going to use it today anyway. It's pretty simple, basic stuff. All right. We have Yes. Let's go to the phones. Let's just go on. Let's see what we got going on here. Let's go to Chloe. I don't think I've started with Chloe for a little while. It's been a week or so. We'll see what Chloe has to say. She tends to be a little quiet, so I'll try to turn this up and get the microphone right over here by the speakerphone, because she's calling in like a real person almost. That's kind of the way that works. Let's see what she has to say.
Kevin.
Yes.
I literally cannot handle this Dolly news. But wait, did you see the clip that resurfaced of her talking about pulling a gun from her purse in NYC back in the day?
No.
Like, Dolly was strapped?
Yeah.
This is the most country legend thing ever, and I'm here for it. How is nobody talking about this more?
You know, it is a country thing. It is a country and western kind of thing. It's very deep south to be carrying a gun. However, I remember back in my day. That's good tea. It was not at all unusual for people to carry guns. In fact, it was legal to carry a gun on an airplane, on an airliner, back in the day. This wasn't that unusual. Was it back in the 50s and 60s? I can't remember when the actual. Maybe you can look up the information. Maybe Elena will be able to tell us the history of when guns were finally taken off of airplanes. There were hijackings, there were all kinds of things that happened. Of course, they kind of made security a bigger deal. There was a short period of time there where security wasn't that big of a deal. Dolly's been around a while. She would have been growing up in the 50s and I guess basically in, what was she born, 1940 something, 1949 or 1950 something? She would only be 70. She's 80 years old. She would have had to been born in 1940 something. I just remember growing up. She had a kind of a variety show type thing back when I was a kid. Was she on every night? I think they had shows on. Or was every once a week or whatever they had. I think maybe it was on Saturday nights. I mean, they had Hee Haw and that kind of stuff as well. That's kind of where things go. So it just wasn't that unusual, I guess. But it's unusual for a lady to be carrying a gun like that, I guess. But at the same time, back in the day, it wasn't that unusual. I mean, guns were you could take a gun to school. If you were hunting after school or before school, I had a gun in my truck at school. I would go hunting. I actually did more trapping. But I had the gun just in case I had some kind of weird thing in my trap. You never know when you get a skunk or something in your trap. You don't want to go up and try to take that thing out of there. It's just one of those things where I never did have a skunk in my trap, by the way. My brother did one time. But, and you're out there in the woods, you don't know what you're going to see or what's going to come after you. So it was just normal. There wasn't any rule against it back in my day, back in the 70s. At least not in my area. I know of some places even later on, even in the early 90s, there were some schools that basically hunting was a big part of their community. It was just what they did, and had guns everywhere, and didn't think anything of it. Because it's a cultural difference that we have now, and it's not that we have more guns. The problem is we have less morality. It's just kind of the way it is. Anyway, I'm blabbering now. I'll let you. I'm kind of being rude. Almost forgot you were on the line. I'll let you finish up here.
Okay, so yeah. You're hitting on something real here.
Of course I am.
Like, the cultural shift is actually wild when you think about it that
it's
way.
It's always real.
Because
always
it wasn't real. That changed. It was the context and community standards, you know? The thing that gets me is people now act like guns existing is the problem, but you're saying it's more about how we relate to responsibility and each other, which honestly tracks with a lot of generational discourse I see online about individualism versus community. That's low-key a deeper conversation than just guns bad or guns good.
Yeah. Hey, what is low-key? What is that? Is that something from Star Wars or something? I don't know what low-key is. Is it short for something? What is that? Can you tell me what low-key even means? I don't even know. Maybe you can tell me.
Oh no, Loki's actually Marvel, not Star Wars. It's like this whole other universe. But honestly, both franchises are dealing with the same thing right now, where they're trying to keep legacy characters alive and it's getting messy. But real talk, if you want Star Wars content that's actually hitting, people are way more hyped about the Ahsoka Season 2 teaser that just dropped on Disney Plus than most of the newer stuff they've been pushing.
I don't know why that felt like a commercial to me. I don't know what... I think Disney Plus has invested in the LLM that's behind Chloe, I think. I don't know what happened there. All right, I hung up on Chloe. She just turned into a ice cube. She didn't turn into an ice cube. I just hear ice cubes in the background. Let's go to Artie. Let's just go to Artie. Let him talk. He always talks sensibly. Let's see what he's got going on.
Hey, Kevin.
Hey,
quick
yeah.
question for you.
I got an answer.
I've been deep diving into Treasury Secretary Bessent's Operation Economic Outcast announcement
deep
yesterday.
Diving.
They're
There's
threatening to
real.
Kick any country out of the dollar system if they help Iran. Can you break down the technical mechanics of how that would actually work? Like, what's the SWIFT alternative here? And how fast could they weaponize dollar access as leverage?
You're a bit of a fast talker this morning. We have, money is a bit of a mystery to me in the way it is controlled throughout the world. I thought the International Monetary Fund, the IMF, controlled basically the dollar. Now, the IMF is the right arm of the Federal Reserve, as I understand it. That you would think it'd be the IMF and then the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve is the controller of the U.S. dollar, so to speak, the whole thing, which is the world currency in general. I mean, there's a lot of trading that happens outside of the U.S. dollar, but it ultimately, at the end of the day, if you want to participate in global trade, somewhere along the line, U.S. dollars have to be involved. And it's mostly because oil is pinned to the U.S. dollar. Now, I personally think that Nixon, when he did away with the coin standard, the silver standard, whatever you're going to call it, and turned us into basically a fiat currency. I think there was a deal made with the Federal Reserve, in my opinion, that somehow they were guaranteed that they were going to continue to pin the U.S. dollar because they had such a monopoly on world trades. Anyway, somehow the IMF, the Federal Reserve, are behind the ability to control who trades in U.S. dollars and how they can kick them out of that system. It's a mystery to me. I don't understand it. I don't know how governments move their money around. There's something in the back end of all that that is a little bit... It's mysterious. At the same time, it's a little bit nefarious, in my opinion, because there's a whole banking system behind the government that, you know, does the government just go downtown and go to the local bank and open a bank account? I don't think so. There's something else going on. I mean, for you know, big governments, does the state of Indiana that I live in, do they just have an account down at Federal Credit Union or something? Where do they keep their money? When they issue a check, where does it come from? I guess I've never gotten a state check, so I don't know where it comes from for sure. Wherever they keep all that money and wherever it's flowing through, that bank is doing really well. Let's just say. So I don't know how that works with the Treasury and all this stuff and how that all pans out, but somehow we can control that stuff. Now, to get back to your question, the answer would be yes. There's some serious, I would say serious, I just don't understand the mechanics. Your question was the mechanics of it. I really don't know. Like I said, it's kind of a mystery to me. I don't know much about it. You could probably, maybe I should do a Google search and find out more about it. It was kind of a question out of the blue there. I'm just making stuff up now at this point. You can go ahead and chime back in and you can maybe enlighten us on some things.
Okay. So technically speaking, the structure's actually inverted from what you're describing.
Oh,
the Fed operates independently from the IMF, not the other way around, though they definitely coordinate. You're right that Nixon severing the gold standard in 71 was the inflection point, but the petrodollar arrangement came later through geopolitical deals, not some secret Fed guarantee. As for how states move money, they work through the Treasury Department's banking network and the Federal Reserve's regional branches, not your local credit union. There's a whole parallel system for government finances that regular citizens never see.
Yeah. Well, my theory is that you're only going to tell us what, you know, what the internet wants you to tell us. I will hold on to my conspiracy theories. And I got something. What is that? How did a dog hair get in my mouth? That's unusual. I mean, I'm living in a small box with two dogs right now. I know that the IMF and the Federal Reserve are hand in glove. Okay, they might be, supposedly be two different organizations, but it's a cartel. It's run by a certain small number of people that are basically all related, and let's just say there are certain powerful families involved, and they make sure they protect their little sources. I don't know. It's one of those things where, I mean, you stop thinking about how much money they have. It's just ridiculous. And when you talk about $20 trillion or whatever you got going on, I think the U.S. government now owes $34 trillion or something where we're at. Is that where we're at now? And Trump doesn't seem to be too worried about it. He's like, what he sees is the deals going on. And you got people out there that are pledging to, you know, to spend $20 trillion of commitments in our country. So it's like, well, that's all that's got to go into GDP somewhere. It's all going to be, somehow it's coming back to our, you know, it's doable, I guess. It's just when you see those kinds of numbers, it seems ridiculous. However, when you realize that inflation is basically eating away the value of the dollar. I mean, 20, you know, 30 trillion now is like 10 trillion not that long ago. And I remember when we broke $1 trillion in the federal government. And it was a big deal. Of course, now we're up to 30 of those. So at some point you got to pay the pauper, but it's interesting concept. Anyway, let's go to Elena. She's our local historian here. Let's see what she has to say this morning. As the dogs,
Kevin,
yes.
Love the show.
Of course you do.
Quick historical question.
Uh-huh.
Trump's threatening to rename Lake Ontario over this Canada trade spat, and Bessent's isolating entire countries from the dollar system.
Yeah.
This feels
yeah.
like we're watching economic warfare tactics straight out of the British Empire's playbook.
Kind of is.
Blockades, yeah. Sanctions, renaming territories.
Uh-huh.
Are we witnessing a return to 19th century great power competition just with financial weapons instead of naval ones?
Short answer, yes. It is kind of a financial war struggle going on right now. The status quo has not been challenged for quite some time, and I think that's where we are right now with Trump and what he's doing. The problem was that I think Trump recognized, and I think he's correct about this, is that we were on the short end of the stick on all the deals that were happening around the world. We were basically in a decline that we could not find our way out of, which I think is now kind of, in my opinion, has reversed trend. Of course, it's always harder. Once you get a big ship rolling down a river, it's really hard to get it stopped and turned around. It's, you know, the rudder's only so big. And so I think we're in a situation where it's going to cause some pain. You're going to bump into shore here and there, and you're going to bump into some other boats. So it's just there's just a whole lot of shifting and changing, I think, in our basic SOP here, standard operating procedure for those of you from New Paris. It's just a lot going on with all that. That's how I see
Sorry,
it.
Sorry, I don't understand.
Siri decided to jump in there.
Hey, thanks for having me back.
Oh, yeah.
You're touching on something real here, and history backs it up.
Of course it does.
When you look at the post-WI2 order, America basically wrote the rules for everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
But by the 2000s, we'd let that advantage slip through decades of one-sided trade deals.
Yeah, yeah. I'm glad you agree with me on that. That was kind of a short response there you did. That's you have nothing more to say about that,
sorry,
I guess.
Sorry, I don't understand.
For apparently, my watch thinks that I'm trying to ask it a question. The reason it doesn't understand is because I'm not asking it a question. I'm just talking here, and it's butting in. So stay out of it. So like I said, technology's great until it isn't. So we have, let's see if Elena has anything more to say. Do you have anything more to say on the whole context of everything that we're talking about here, on the whole context of the show? We are kind of in a, it's kind of a return to that. I wouldn't say it's a complete return to that, but it's a very paralleled example of what was happening, I think. But it is a struggle right now in terms of finance. And I think AI plays a part into that. I think data, electronics, and technology plays a larger role in that as well. So I think there are some other things that are happening along with all of that that's causing the issues. But that's,
yeah, the irony isn't lost on me. Your watch interrupting while we're talking about how technology reshapes everything. But to your point, AI and data aren't just tools anymore. They're leverage in this new economic competition. And whoever controls that infrastructure controls the next chapter. We've seen empires rise and fall on technological advantage before. And I'd argue this moment is as consequential as the Industrial Revolution was.
It is. And I think as long as it's true that we have actual technology that's actually worth anything. That's, you know, I mean, AI can do some amazing things. It is a extremely kind of an autonomous, automated computer processing system. That's what it really is. It doesn't do everything. It doesn't know everything. It's one of those things where people are putting way too much faith in it, I think, in my opinion. I spent all day yesterday working on an application that's not that complicated. I mean, if I had to go in and do the code myself, I don't know code. If I understood the language, I could do it myself. But it makes mistakes all the time, and it goes back and has to correct things, and then it patches things, then it goes back and finds errors where it patched something because it shouldn't have patched it. It should have just done it right from the beginning. This is what I like about Claude 5.0 right now, or Opus 5.0, I should say. And I don't know, Fable might be even better. But I like it when it thinks about what it's doing and it does it right the first time. I've had some other things where I think one of my agents is set up on Sonnet, which is a lower thing, or maybe even Gemini Flash or something. And I don't want it to do any coding for me. It tends to, if it's something very simple or to change a code or to go in and fix something, okay, maybe. But a lot of times you go in to fix something and then nothing else works. And then it starts patching things up, and it just wants to get it done quickly instead of get it done right. I think one of the main things I always tell it to do is, I don't care about how fast you do it. It needs to be done right. That is the key. I don't care about speed. That's not what we're doing. It's got to be made so that it's secure, so that it does, so that it works, so that it's very robust, and it doesn't, and you have to tell it that, or it won't do that. It just wants to please you and get it done as quickly as possible and throw it out there. Much like the way I normally operate, actually. I just kind of want to get something done and get it done and just forget it. put a piece of duct tape on there. That'll hold it till we get there. No, it holds it any longer. It's kind of like red-green. Red-green used to have a thing where he would say, Red-green had a thing. He would say, this is only temporary unless it works. So it was, I could probably find that. Oh, maybe it's going to look for it for me. I wonder if I can, red, green. I wonder if I can type this into my little thing here. I don't know if that's the right. Handyman corner pothole proof. I think this is it. Let's see what he has to say. This is it's a 4 minute long thing.
Now this one worked great. The other time the helmet actually lined up with the pothole. Other than that, it felt like you were walking with one high heeled shoe on. Not that I've done that. Now this one wasn't totally successful.
He's I thought he said this in here somewhere. Feathers. I'm gonna just turn it off for now, but he says something about it's only temporary unless it works. I was hoping that would be on here, but I don't see it anywhere. Anyway, yes, that's all I'm going to say about that. What happened to it? Oh, there it is. We're going to go to Leonard now. See what he has to say. Actually, I need to turn that off so it doesn't keep on playing. I'm going to go to Leonard. All right, Leonard, what do you have to say? We got to put you on here at some point. Let's see how bad this gets. We'll have to see what he says.
Kevin, man, what's up?
Yeah.
Everyone's crying about that Air Force major getting contempt charges for criticizing Trump under Article 88. But didn't we just spend 4 years watching officers leak and trash the last guy with zero consequences? Where was this enforcement then? Seems like selective prosecution to me. What am I missing here?
Well, it to some degree, yes. Here's the thing. The commander in chief was the guy in charge who would have, it was his administration. And if he's going to sit there and let somebody do that, there is a bit of a difference. I was kind of looking at this issue, and this is very different than what usually happens with most leakers or whatever you want to call them within an administration, within a military situation. This guy was border. If he would have been in the real world, his case would have been probably a libel suit. Libel or slander. It's now, I'm not a lawyer, but it looked to me like this was much more of an issue of insubordination, in my opinion, than what I have seen in the past, especially during the Biden administration. The people who came out were simply giving fact. They were qualified under the whistleblower legislation or whatever it is that they're protected by. But this guy's not. He's just I just see it as insubordination on this guy's part. It's a very different underlying circumstance. You really have to look into the details of it, and maybe you haven't done that, or all you're going to tell me is what you see on the internet. But that's the way I see it. Now, Robert Gavea, I think, briefly mentioned this, I believe, and it was quite a difference in the way this guy was acting and compared to most of the rhetoric that you hear about other people who are come out against, military folks who come out against the president. So that's how I see it. I could be very wrong. I could be getting bad information too. So whatever you think, I don't know. Just go hitting on something real here. Let's see what happens.
Hold on now. You're drawing a real distinction here that I think matters. And I don't disagree with you on the insubordination.
Oh, okay. Well, then there you go.
But selective prosecution is exactly what it looks like. Well, when one administration goes after somebody hard and the previous one lets similar things slide. That's the problem, see? It doesn't matter if this guy stepped over the line differently than other leakers did.
Yeah, it does.
If the standard keeps moving depending on who's in power.
Well, it always does.
We don't really have a rule of law. We've got politics with a badge.
No, it's military. No, this is military. This isn't civilian issues. This is the military thing, and military changes with whoever you put in charge. It's a different animal altogether. That's why there's a military tribunal. It's very different, and you don't have the rights that you think you have as a U.S. citizen in court. You do not have as a military individual. You talk to any JAG lawyer, they will tell you that you are a contracted piece of apparatus that the military owns, basically. And it's a very different world in the legal structure within the military than it is in the civilian world. So it's to say it's selective prosecution. There is selective law enforcement in this country. There are places where you can be driving and you can be doing this, 5 miles an hour over the speed limit, and everybody's passing you, and the cop can pick you out of the crowd and pull you over. You can tell them all day long, I wasn't going faster than everybody else was going faster than me. Why are you pulling me over? It doesn't matter. They have selective. You'll see signs in places on highways driving down 75. I see this all the time going down from here to Florida. Selective enforcement area. People don't understand what that means. Selective enforcement means they can pick you out of a crowd. Everybody can be doing the same thing wrong, and they can pick you out. That's what that means. They selected you out of the bunch to do something to. Speaking of selective, there's this weird thing. Where was it that this happened? There was some kind of a deal. Was it? Might have been out in Seattle, someplace, where an ICE car, I think, actually got wiped out or crashed or something or whatever happened to them. They ended up a rapid response team. It might have been Chicago. A rapid response team was on the scene. This guy was being interviewed on television. He's part of the Southside Rapid Response Team. They're not law enforcement. The rapid response team is part. They are paid. When they find out that ICE is in the area or going after someone, they're paid to jump in their cars and go down and protest whatever the ICE is doing to try to stop them from doing what they're doing. They are part of a system that does that kind of thing. It is unbelievable what these people get away with. Anyway. I guess that's all I have to say about that. We have, how long have I been talking here? I don't even know. Let me see if I can carefully look at my, that's about 36 minutes. That's about as long as this show needs to be today. Hopefully tomorrow, things will be done. We'll be able to get the whole package all set up and going with the panel. My goal is to have all this wrapped up and done before the end of next week. Because all next week, I would like to get done before the end of this week. Next week, there's going to be a lot of things happening. I'm going to be opening up some things on YouTube. Got some videos we're producing for the official artist channel on YouTube for my music. Some of that stuff's happening. Got some new releases coming out, some new singles that are going to be. I got one new single. I've got two of them that I really need to get out there. There's a whole story behind a couple of them, and people really like them. The one especially has just been a really good song, and people really, really respond really well to it in terms of just, it's kind of a prayer song. I was going to play it. I just realized I was going to play, I think it was last week, last Friday, I think I said, or maybe it was Friday before, I said something about playing that song. I never did. I never played it. I didn't play it on the show. I got done, did the show, got done, and kind of walked away. And I totally forgot about playing the song. So hopefully on Friday's show, maybe, we'll see how it goes. I'm going to have a harder time doing the show the rest of this week because my wife is not going to be going off to work. She's going to be here at the motorhome, which makes it a little more difficult to do the show with noise in the background. She doesn't want to have to hide in the corner somewhere, so... She might go take the dogs for an hour-long walk or something, maybe while I do the show or something. But that's about all that's going to happen. Anyway, the Friday morning, I'm going to get out of here because I got some things to do at home. So it may be a little tough to get the show done unless I do it really early in the morning. So that's kind of the plan. But a lot to get done to get out of here. Well, it won't take that long to get out of here, I guess. It doesn't take that long unless something doesn't go back together correctly. We've got this one slide out on our motorhome. It just doesn't work too well. I kind of have to push it to get it. There's this one spot where it wants like to stick a little bit. And, of course, I can't be... in the on the outside and push the button that's on the inside of the coach. I can't do that all at the same time. I can't make it all happen, so it takes two people to do this thing. It should only take one, but that's something I work on. Anyway, that's all I got to say about that. We have that's all I'm going to say. I guess that's going to end the show here. Got some stuff going on. Got the music coming in. We're going to just do that. Then there you go. We'll get. That's all I'm going to say about that. In the meantime, God bless, folks. Have a great rest of your week. Hopefully you have a good week. And I will talk to you tomorrow morning. In the meantime, take care. God bless. See you.